Yeah, the reading this morning is from Jeremiah 17, verses 5 to 8. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wasteland. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. He does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit.
Right. If you've got a Bible with you, please do have it open at Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 to 8. I want to start with a little story for you, because it was a moment that I realised I'd arrived, I'd finally made it. I was in the guitar shop. The guitar was in my hand. The money was in my pocket. I've been dreaming about owning one of these guitars. You can see it on the screen there. It's a Taylor GS Mini. Does that mean anything to anybody? It means something to Pete. Thank you, Pete. Thank you, Johnny. A Taylor GS Mini. They are lovely guitars. They're slightly small scale, so they're really comfortable to hold. They're really easy to play because they've got a slightly smaller neck, so you can get your hand and your fingers around the neck much easier. They're lovely guitars to just have around the house. They're great guitars to travel with. I'd thought about this guitar a lot, and I had the money. Somebody had given me a gift, and so I had the money. I went to the guitar shop with a good friend of mine who loves guitars, and we spent the morning looking at all the Taylor GS Mini guitars. There were about a dozen in the shop, all different woods, all different finishes, all sounding slightly differently. I was thinking, come on, I deserve this. This is going to be great. Been looking forward to this bit of a treat. But I had a nagging sense within me that this was all a little bit me, me, me. This is all a little bit selfish. Surely this money could benefit other people in a much more helpful way. If I'm really honest, I have other guitars, in the plural. If I buy one more guitar, it means I'm going to be playing those guitars a little bit less, the ones that I already have. Pete's feeling slightly uncomfortable here as I talk about this. The truth is, I knew, deep within me, I knew that this wasn't something that was honouring to God that I was doing. It might sound like a little bit of a superficial thing, just buying a guitar. What could the harm be in doing that? But actually, going through this process was just revealing something about the state of my heart before God. I had a choice in that moment as I stood in that guitar shop with this guitar before me and my money in my pocket. And the choice was, do I do what I think is going to please God, or do I please myself? It was as stark as that in the moment. Do I do what I believe will be pleasing to God, or am I going to please myself? I had a choice, and to be honest, I had a little tussle going on within me as I thought that through. But I knew what the right thing to do was. And so I walked out of the shop empty-handed, without a guitar, to the absolute bemusement of my friend, who spent all morning with me saying, yeah, that sounds a little bit richer, that one sounds a little bit more mellow. I chose in that moment what I believed was pleasing to God. And let me be really honest with you, I could have shared plenty of stories where I chose the other this morning, plenty of times when I've chosen to please myself. But that time, I think I chose the right choice. Every day we face numerous choices. We've got decisions to make. Will we choose to do what pleases God, or will we please ourselves? Will we live as though we trust God, using the words that Jeremiah writes in chapter 17? Will we be people who trust in God, or will we be people who trust in our own ways, trust in the world's ways? Well, it's our APCM day today, our annual church meeting day, and we are missing Manda and Paul. I'm missing Manda because Manda was due to preach today. And I was thinking, what do I speak on? So I had a quick look through some of the APCM reports, and I noticed this verse near the beginning of the reports from Jeremiah 17, and I thought, aha, that's on the window, isn't it? That we meet below here. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. God's desire is that we live lives, that we be like this tree, brimming with life, blessed and fruitful. But we do have a choice. We can choose God's way. That's the way to life, the blessed way, the fruitful way. Or we can choose our own way. And I think Jeremiah here is saying that when we choose our own way, that is a way to lifelessness. That is a way to lifelessness. And the grace of God means that he doesn't force his way upon us. He knows what's best. He knows what's best for you and for I. But he doesn't control us. He gives us the freedom to choose. He shows us the way to walk. He'll guide us if we ask him. But he gives us the dignity to choose if we will walk in his way or not. Because he's a God of love and a God of grace. Now, in our reading here in Jeremiah, God's people have not been choosing well. They're not in a good place where there were 12 tribes that were all together. They've split, they're fractured now. There's a north kingdom and a south kingdom. God's been faithful to his people. He's cared for them. He's loved them faithfully. But his people have not been faithful to him. They keep turning away and placing their trust in other places or in themselves. And they suffer the consequence of disobedience before God. And we read that again and again in Jeremiah. And yet, alongside that, there is an underlying sense in the book of Jeremiah of God's unchanging love for his people, God's goodness, his compassion, and his mercy. In fact, as you read some of these Old Testament books where you see God's people walking away from God and then coming back and walking away and coming back, as you read it, it's almost as though God is wooing his people back to himself, beckoning them back. Come back. He's inviting them. Come back. Come to me. And God is still wooing people today. He's still inviting, beckoning people to come to him. I wonder if you hear God beckoning you to him today, maybe for the first time. There's a verse in Jeremiah. I mean, there's plenty of verses in Jeremiah, by the way, that we found very encouraging, aren't there? Lots of verses people find great encouragement and life in. But on the whole, this is actually quite a tough book, because it speaks so much of the people's disobedience. But there's a verse a couple of chapters before, chapter 6, that says this. And this is a verse that will be very familiar to many people. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. There's guidance and there's great promise in that verse. But so often we miss off the final line from that verse, which is on the next slide. This is what the Lord says, walk this way. But you said, God's people said, we will not walk in it. We missed that verse out. This is where we find God and his people in this book in Jeremiah. God saying, this is the way to walk. And God's people are saying, we're not going to walk that way. Well, I wonder how ready you and I are to walk God's way, to walk in obedience to what we know deep down is his way, is the right way. I wonder if we'll be obedient, because we have this choice. And in our reading, the prophet Jeremiah shows us two choices, two ways to go. We can have the next slide. He shows one way, which he says is a cursed way, a lifeless way. This picture of a bush, a dry bush in the wastelands, in the desert, just being blown around with no roots to kind of contain it. This is the way of the one who trusts in man, whose heart turns away from the Lord. And Jeremiah shows us another way, a blessed way, a fruitful way. Now, I haven't got a PowerPoint for this because we've got our window. So we can probably go back, please, Kathy, and we can see on one side the way that is the way to lifelessness, the dry bush in the desert, and then we see the way to life. The one who places their trust in the Lord, whose confidence is in him, is like this tree planted by the water, this tree of blessedness, this tree of fruitfulness, this tree that is brimming with life. Just look at that tree and just see the life pouring out of it. God says we're free to choose. He doesn't force us. Earlier on in the Bible, in the book of Deuteronomy, through Moses, God has spent time telling his people, if you're going to belong to me and be my people, this is how I want you to live. And he's laid it out really clearly in all sorts of laws and guidelines for them, that they would know his blessing, that they would be close to him and belong to God. And at the end, towards the end of Deuteronomy, God says, I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life. He says, choose, and please choose life. That's what I long for you. I long for you to be living this fruitful life like this tree. Choose the good way. So what does blessing look like when we choose God's way? You could quickly read through this passage in Jeremiah 17, and you could quickly deduce that what it means is, if I trust in God, I'm going to have a good life. If I don't trust in God, life's going to be a whole lot harder. But that's not quite what it says, is it? Looking closely at this passage, Jeremiah says, look at verse 6. He says, those who do not trust in God, whose hearts turn away from the Lord, they'll still see prosperity. Verse 6. And those who do trust in God, what's going to happen to them? Heat's going to come. Worries are going to come. Stress, pressure. Troubles are going to come. And we know, of course, that good and bad things will come to all of us, to those who trust in God and to those who don't. But for those whose trust is placed in God, they will respond differently to those who aren't trusting in God when these things come towards us. And it's all about our roots. It's all about how deep our roots are, whether we've got good roots or not. The good root of the tree, or the virtually non-existent roots of the dry bush that's blown around in the desert. The one who doesn't trust in God, the dry bush that's blown around in the desert, doesn't recognize good things when it comes their way. When prosperity comes their way, they don't see it. They don't get it. You know, when we don't know God, we're not satisfied, are we? And we always want more. So when blessing comes our way, when good things come our way, it doesn't satisfy us. We just want more and more. More money in my bank account, in my savings account. More success in my career. More affirmation from other people to just top me up and keep me going. More help from alcohol, coffee, whatever it is that you lean on. You can fill in more help from that blank. More. Because Because without God, without our roots firmly established in him, it's never enough. It's never enough. We'll never be satisfied. The one who doesn't trust in God and turns away from him, doesn't recognize blessing, and is therefore cursed. But the one who trusts in God is blessed. So again, what does that look like, that blessing? It looks like this. It looks like when the heat is turned up, when the stress and the pressure comes, you need not live paralyzed by fear. I was reading a commentary the other day, and I read this question in it. What's the most often quoted commandment in Scripture? Anyone got any ideas? Do not be afraid. Fear not. Do not be afraid. And when you notice that, you realize, goodness me, that is said an awful lot. Do not be afraid, because God cares for you. He even counts the hairs on your head. I'm having a brief look around because it's easier with some people than it is with others to count the hairs on their head. But God cares about the big, important things in your life. And he also cares about the tiny detail. He cares. In a year of drought, in those long times of suffering, that person need not worry. Of course, if you're that tree planted by the water with good roots, the tree that is overflowing with life, that's the blessed tree. But of course, that tree will still feel the battering of the wind. That tree will still feel the burning heat and the thirst of drought. You know, and when we trust in God, we don't become immune, do we, to life's troubles, to the challenges that come our way. We still feel them. We still feel that anxiety and that pressure. And there are many stories in this room, aren't there, of people that are living trusting God. Lord, please help me to trust in you. And aware of the battering of the wind, of the stresses and the things that come against us. So we still feel it. But when we trust in God, there's a difference in us because we've got these deep, good roots. Roots that mean we will not be moved. Roots that mean when the storm passes, we'll still be standing. Roots that remind us that we have a sure and certain hope of a better day. Roots that remind us that God is with us and he has promised to never leave us. So we will not be moved. A bit like the house on the rock that Jesus talks about after his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7. Jesus says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. The pressure and the stress does come. Yet the house did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. This is the tree that is planted by the stream. This is the one who trusts in God. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. The choice is life or lifelessness. And we get to make that choice every day in the small things and in the big things. But it's about the state of our hearts before God. Will I choose what pleases God or will I please myself? Because one place leads to life, one road leads to life, and the other road leads to lifelessness. So how are you getting on with choosing at the moment, in the everyday, in the big things and in the small things? Have you been choosing well recently? How are your roots? Are you established in God? Are you choosing him? Maybe you haven't been. You can choose him today. He's here, wooing, inviting, beckoning you closer to him. And if that's you, if you'd like to respond to that and choose God's way today, we would love to chat with you after the service. We'd love to pray with you. Find someone to talk to and pray to. Grab Jude or myself or Pete or Claire. Grab one of us. There's one last thing to say about the blessing that comes. This tree that is planted by the water has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. That's a great promise, that not only will we survive adversity, but we can bear fruit through it. We can still live fruitful lives for God through difficult times. You might have heard this message this morning as a personal message for you, and I believe it is. But I believe it's also a message for us as St. Mary's Church here this morning. There's a promise for St. Mary's Church this morning that if we will trust in God, if we will live and make choices that show that we trust in him, that choose to please him rather than pleasing ourselves, then even though we go through difficult times, even though we go through a year of drought, we will never fail to bear fruit. And St. Mary's has got a real heart to be a fruitful church. To be a fruitful church. So today we can give thanks for being in this building for 10 years. That's what we're doing this year. And as we think about our annual church meeting, we look back and we give glory and thanks to God for his goodness, for his faithfulness. But we can give thanks for meeting here for 10 years in this hall, under this window that reminds us of what it looks like to be blessed and fruitful. This tree that is brimming with life, this promise that if we trust in God, we'll be walking that path full of life. We can give God glory that we meet here. And we can give God thanks for the fruit that there's been in the life of this church over the last 10 years. Because there has been fruit, hasn't there? I've heard the stories and I've seen it in the last few years while I've been here. Even in difficult times, and there have been difficult times, there's been fruit. Let's give God glory and give him thanks for that as we look back. But let's also look forwards, because it is like we're at a crossroads yet again. And God is yet again wooing us and inviting us and beckoning us and saying, come and choose the good way. Walk this way. Choose life. Trust in me. Put your confidence in me, says the Lord. How do we do that? How do we do that as his church, as his people? Well, just to close, I've had a real sense this last week that God is calling us as St. Mary's Church to trust God in three particular ways at this moment in time. And that's the next slide, please, Kathy. A deeper prayer life, a renewed purity, and to continue to faithfully proclaim the good news of Jesus, the gospel. A call to a deeper prayer life is all about seeking him in the secret place, looking to him, crying out to him, not settling for things as they are, but having that hope of a better day. Believing that we're not to lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways we are to acknowledge him, because he will make our path straight. He'll show us the way. So a deeper prayer life is about getting on our knees and saying, we need you, Lord, to show us, and we need you to move. We're in the middle of thy kingdom come at the moment. We're praying for this parish and the places where we live for people to come to know Jesus. We can't make that happen. It's a reminder, a deeper prayer life, that we are so dependent on him to move. He alone to move. So I believe there's a call to a deeper prayer life. I think God's calling us to a renewed purity, to live according to his word, to his ways, to turn from the world's ways, to turn from our own inclinations, our own feelings, and to look to what he says to us about how we're to live. So this is about our lifestyle. This is about how we spend our money. This is about what we watch on the TV, when we should turn the TV off, what we read. This is about what we fill our minds with and what we give ourselves to. And it's about our understanding of Scripture. Your word, Lord, is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. I think God's calling us to stand out, different from the world. A renewed call to purity. And thirdly, I believe God's calling us to continue to faithfully proclaim the gospel in our everyday lives, in who we are, as well as what we say. The tree that is planted by water, even though it goes through a year of drought and troubles, will never fail to bear fruit. What a wonderful promise that is. When we choose that path of life, it blesses us. We are sustained, but it also blesses others because there will be fruitfulness in our ministry. What does that fruitfulness look like? I believe it looks like people coming to know Jesus for themselves, people discovering the freedom and the forgiveness in Christ. And I believe it looks like people maturing in Christ and growing in their faith. Fruitfulness. Others coming to know Jesus as we hold out the word of life. So, I guess the question, St. Mary's, is are we up for it? Can I invite you to stand? And then I think we're going to respond in song in a minute, but maybe you get ready, Pete. Let's just have a moment. Just close your eyes if you find it helpful to just pray. And we pray, come, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for your unfailing love. Thank you, we read in the Bible, of your constant, unchanging love. You are a God of mercy and grace, and you woo your people. You beckon us to come closer again and again and again, and we fall. And we've said a prayer of confession already this morning. But for some of us here, there are still doubts and there are still things we're carrying, maybe a sense of guilt or shame or regret. Help us to come to you, loving Father, as we are, to leave these senses of shame and guilt and regret with you, trusting that when Jesus died on the cross, it was sufficient. And then help us to choose you from this moment. Help us to live for you, to please you, Lord. And help us to grow deeper in prayer. Help us to live pure lives that stand out as different from those who don't love you. And help us to be faithful in proclaiming your gospel, Lord, in who we are and what we say. Help us to choose your way, Lord, that we might live lives that speak of your blessing and your life, that we might live fruitful lives. Amen.